Well, written in AD 6061, Paul penned this letter while he was imprisoned in Rome. The reason the letter was drafted is that Paul received a report from Epaphras that the Christians in Colossae were being infiltrated with false teachings, teachings that were combining ideas from other philosophies and other religions with that of Christian truths. Promotion of self-made rules rather than God-centered values. Teachings that were denying Christ as God. Let's add about 1960 years and take a look at our current society, where there are false teachings and many are denying Christ as God. Not much has changed, which is why this letter is relevant to us today, just as it was to those Christians so many years ago. Paul's true passion was seeing God at work in the lives of others, and so he prayed. He prayed that believers be filled with a full and clear and deep and accurate knowledge of God's will that would enable them to live a life that is pleasing to God in everything. And I want to share with you some thoughts around this prayer for spiritual growth, where Paul prays for the spiritual progress of the Christians in Colossae. Now, I'm sure we've all heard something along the lines of, why settle for good when great is on the horizon? Or, there's always room for growth. Now, almost everyone would admit that there is room for growth or improvement somewhere in their lives, be it in finances, in health, in diet, in exercise regimes, wherever. But the big question here, just how satisfied are you with your spiritual life? Have you reached a point where you feel, you know what, I am all that I can be, and I am where God wants me to be on my walk with God? But be careful, because there's great danger in becoming self-satisfied. Tiger Woods is quoted as saying, "No matter how good you get, you can always get better, and that's the exciting part." People wonder why athletes keep training even after they've reached their goal. It's because there's always room for growth, and that leads to so much excitement in life. I read about a Danish sculptor who, when asked which of his statues was his greatest, his reply was, "The next one." He was never content to stop growing. He sought continual improvement. His constant hope and his driving desire was that the most notable achievement of his life is still ahead. Isn't that an awesome attitude for a Christian to have in our spiritual life? Christians are meant to grow. We're not meant to stand still, not in our discipleship, or in our prayer life, or in our sharing of the gospel, or in our relationships with God and with other people. Christ never wants us to be content or complacent in our walk with Him. Now, pretty much every parent, at least when I was growing up, had some type of a growth chart where they could measure the kid's height every, I don't know, few months. And when the kids saw how much they had grown, they began to beam. And when they realized that they'd outgrown you, they beamed even brighter. And there were other indicators that told us that our kids were growing. Pant legs seemed to get shorter. They needed bigger shoes. They started eating more. Then, of course, their priorities in life changed. They went from making mud pies for guests to dating. From worrying about what they were going to watch on television to worrying about what they were going to do in their lives. But have you ever thought about what spiritual growth looks like? How can you tell if you are indeed growing spiritually? Can it be measured by how often you come to church? Can it be measured by the many ministries that you're involved with? or maybe how much you give. Now, sometimes those things reflect your spiritual growth, but they aren't at the heart of it. Now, I've discovered during my time of preparation and discernment for today that there are an awful lot of opinions out there. There are lists upon lists upon lists that are very willing to advise you if you are growing spiritually. So many, in fact, that you could get frustrated, wondering what it all means. Am I growing? Am I slipping? So my question to you today is this. Does a child need someone to tell them that they're growing up? Or do they instinctively know that they're getting taller when they surpass you? Do they know they're growing when they don't want to eat mud anymore and steak seems that much better of a choice? Do they know that they're growing up when they realize that they're old enough to drive? And then do they wait for you to tell them, hey, you're old enough to get your license? Do you have to tell them or do they tell you? And do you need them to tell you that they're growing up? Or do you see it in their choices and in their thinking and in their actions? What I'm getting at is this. If you take a long look at your life, at who you are now versus who you were last week, last month, last year, last decade, you should be able to tell if you are growing in your spiritual life. Now, spiritual growth takes time. We wouldn't expect a child to grow mentally or physically overnight. We shouldn't expect to grow spiritually overnight either. Sometimes our progress may be slow, and at other times, it may seem as though we're slipping backwards. And often, it's only the vantage point of several years that we can look back and realize how much we have actually grown. Now, you may be sitting there thinking, she just said that I could look back last week and last month. Yeah, I did. Growth is more clearly seen over time, but each day we walk with the Spirit, guiding us and leading us, each step is taking us further along the path of spiritual growth. Friends, I could jump on the bandwagon, so to speak, and give you a list to help you figure out if you are growing spiritually. But I'd rather share with you some growth connections that you could take into consideration when you are discerning where you are at on your spiritual journey. So here we go. The Word. Psalm 119, 105 reads, "Thy word is like a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." True spiritual depth is about understanding the Word of God and living its truths. It's about literally applying the Word in your life. It's not about memorizing, and it's not about becoming biblical encyclopedias. It's about knowing Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, how can you be like him? Reading the Bible is essential to spiritual growth, as it's through learning and reading and getting to know and understand Christ that we grow deeper as a believer. Through a desire and determination to know God and God's Word, we can find ourselves longing for a closer relationship, a personal experience with our living God. Biblical knowledge is ultimately designed for application, and we are called to apply this knowledge in love. When we engage with the Bible, our minds are sharpened, our perspectives are shaped, and our actions are directed by the Word. This makes our lives different. It makes our marriages different. It makes our parenting different. It makes our love for neighbors and community different. God's Word, growth connection number one. How about faith? Romans 1:17 says, "It's through faith that a righteous person has life. Can you measure a person's faith? Probably not. Our faith is personal, but it's not intended to be private. You can see when faith is put into action. You better understand the importance of living by faith as opposed to living by personal strength. Through faith, we find it increasingly easier to stand on God's word in difficult situations. Faith empowers us to encourage others in building a relationship with God. It gives us courage to share the gospel message. Faith is seen when you start to care more about pleasing God than being insecure or ashamed in presenting your own life as being aligned with Christ. Faith, growth connection number two. How about prayer? Philippians 4, 6, 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Prayer builds relationship. Prayer is seeking God in your life, involving God in your decisions. Prayer involves humbling yourself enough to reach out to our triune God for help and for guidance and for thanksgiving. Spiritual growth is evident when you find yourself willing to trust God in prayer before you discuss your situation with others. Who do you go to first? Prayer is an opportunity to spend time with God. Prayer changes us. In time of prayer, God is working to change our hearts to be more Christ-like. Our habits and our lifestyles change. Prayer changes us from the inside out. Prayer, growth connection number three. Relationships. Ephesians 4:32 reads, "Be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another just as God through Christ has forgiven you." Humans are naturally relational. As believers, our horizontal relationship with others should develop just as our vertical relationship with God does. Relationships grow and deepen as we become better acquainted with God. We grow a love for people. And increased love manifests itself into actions, exercising patience, readily responding with kindness instead of anger, criticizing less, forgiving more, giving grace and serving more just as Jesus came to serve. How can we say we love God if we don't love God's people? Relationships, growth connection number four. Personal changes within. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." Transforming the way you think. You feel different, maybe more calm or at peace with living when you're walking closely with God. Living out our new identity. Exchanging our old desires for new ones. Taking the time to reflect on our motives and actions in situations. When we press the magnifying glass of judgment on ourselves, we are less likely to press them on other people and to be harsh towards those people. And although for now we must live in and influence this world, it shouldn't have a grip on us. As we grow spiritually, our desire for things of this world decreases. while the desire for things of God increases. Our response to God's call becomes, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Developing a real desire to be a living example of Christ to this world around us so that others may know him. Personal changes within, growth connection number 5. Now, friends, Christianity is about change. It's about newness of life. And growth is certainly part of God's plan for every believer. The truth is, having a desire for spiritual growth isn't enough. It's important that we be on the path. Following Jesus isn't a one-time decision. It's a daily process of growth. We can't walk with Christ and stay where we are. If we're walking with Christ, there will be life change. Our thinking will change. Our feelings will change. Our choices will change. And our actions will change. If someone is growing spiritually, they should be more like Christ than they ever were before. Their character and their hearts are being reshaped by the Holy Spirit. God wants us to grow, to move with Christ. So let's go back to basics. Are you closer to God? Are you empowering the Spirit to guide you? Are you producing every kind of good fruit, and are people seeing those fruits in you? Just as our mindsets are formed by our beliefs and our training, our actions flow from who we are. Are you growing? Are you changing? My prayer for you this morning is the same prayer that Paul shared with the Christians in Colossae. May God give you complete knowledge of God's will and give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. Amen. Thanks be to God.